Many of them I met in Thailand when I was there for 8 years pastoring that big church in downtown Bangkok. But to see them growing and developing, and to see their children now growing and developing and following the Lord and having such a desire to make a commitment to be married and to live for the Lord Jesus and serve Him in various ways of ministry. I count that such a privilege. And it's been one of the great honors I've had during this Christmas season. I've also had some negative things happen to me this Christmas, and I think some of you know that, so I'll just ask you to pray for me. Because when I returned home from the southern United States, after being there several days, I had to go across to the grocery store across the street from us and get some things that we needed to eat. So I have a large basket that I take and I pull, and when I got back to our building, they were taking out all the windows of our 25-story building. And they had scaffold all across the front of our building. And when I went to bring my big cart full of groceries, I found out that the place where they have bellied it out so that you could pull your carts up easily onto the sidewalk was now covered with steel girders. And so I decided that I only could do one thing, and that was to get on the sidewalk and try to lift my basket, because it was very full, and lift my back wheels up and then hopefully keep going back and lift the front wheels. Well, I got the back wheels up, but then all of a sudden everything gave, and the next thing I found, I was heading for the cement sidewalk and all my groceries with me, and I ended up with a very serious blow to my head. So if I have trouble remembering some of my sermon this morning, you'll understand why. Anyway, I'm so glad to be able to share with you again today for this month. And I've decided to still go with the Christmas theme. And I'm choosing to use that glorious phrase that we often hear at Christmas time, Emmanuel, God with us. You find that verse in Isaiah chapter 7 in verses 16, and then in Matthew chapter 1 again, in verse 23, Emmanuel, God with us. Have you ever thought about that? I sometimes get concerned because I have a feeling that many young people do not understand the concept of God being with them. They see God as someone far out there, they believe in God, but they never really come to that point of identifying the fact that God wants to dwell within them and be part of their lives and to guide and direct them in life's journey as they make their way day by day. A grade 3 girl in art class said to her teacher, "I'm going to draw God," she said to the teacher. And the teacher said, "But no one has ever seen God." And Mary responded, "They will after I get through." Well, when we think about our God, there are so many pictures, so many concepts, as we realize Almighty God and consider Him our Father, a very personal relationship that we can have with Him. I suppose it's highly imaginative that humanity has tried to, over the centuries, speculate about what God really does look like. Their concepts are largely wrapped up in the names that we have in the Scripture. And you know that there are so many names, and comparative religions also have various concepts about God. All names given Him through the Old Testament are important, each one describing His character and His person. And then we get into the New Testament and we see Jesus presented to us, whose names and titles reveal so much to us of who he is, what he does, and what he came to do, that is so much a part of our lives also. And for this reason, and always, our one name is announced by the angel Gabriel. And Gabriel said to Joseph, "You shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." Now that's the phrase I would like to emphasize as we think about God this morning. Emmanuel, God with us. You find this in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. This was not, of course, the first time that this was proclaimed. If you go back into the Old Testament, 700 years earlier, prior to this New Testament presentation, we see Isaiah the prophet making a prediction when he said, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give forth birth to a son, and you will call his name Emmanuel, God with us." This is the phrase I want to really focus on this morning. And I would ask you the question as I begin. Is God with you? It's God's intention that he would have that vital personal relationship with each one of us. But it is up to us to make the decision as to whether or not we're going to allow God to be that intimate, be that much a part of our lives. The first indication of the coming of the Savior in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, really changed the whole history of humanity, extending to us when we are told there, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel," speaking of the evil serpent. Through the ages, the preparation and procedures requiring the fulfillment of the Old Testament is an incredible study as we see God revealing himself in so many different ways. Some scholars quote 30 to 600 prophecies given about Jesus and many before his coming in Bethlehem. Until today, however, this incredible truth of Christmas, the fulfillment of the simple manger, Emmanuel came to be with us. This is God chosen to reveal himself to us in Jesus, becoming one of us, taking upon himself human flesh. It's so overwhelming when you stop and think about it. God with us. I think too many of us have the idea that God is somewhere way off there, far from us, and looking down upon us. But if we understand the scripture, we come to an incredible truth that God wants to be with us. Emmanuel, God with us, God one of us. Who would imagine he could choose to come in a sheep's pen? Few more lowly places could have been found. Stinking with urine and with dung, full of spiders and mice and whatever else. Who could imagine he would come to such lowly people? When you think of Joseph, an unknown carpenter, when you think of Mary, a young girl with such expectation about soon to be married to this husband, Joseph, who would imagine exchanging royal robes for a diaper? Here we see Jesus coming to us in this form. The author, Pastor Max Lucado, describes it vividly when he tells us, "He came from the throne room in heaven to a lonely sheep pen on earth. The hands that held him were unmanicured, callous, and dirty. No silk, no ivory, no hype, no hoopla. If not for the shepherds, there would have been no reception at all. How absurd to think such nobility could come in such poverty to share such a treasure with us as thankful human souls. The famous church reformer Martin Luther reminds us that the angels were not even blessed like us, God becoming one of us. The big question, why? Well, it was completely God Himself that chose to do this. He created this marvelous universe. He daily sustains all of this universe. All the hosts of heaven were constantly before His throne, worshiping Him. And yet He came to the point where He decided that He should come. Why? He wanted to show His love to you, to me, to a world that was rebelling against Him so drastically at this time. He chose to show His grace, the undeserved favor shown to you and to me, even though we didn't really deserve it because of our attitudes and our actions. He chose to make a way back to Him, which man could never achieve in himself. God took the initiative to provide a way that we could come back into a personal, vital relationship with Him. He could bear our sins more easily than bearing the thoughts of our hopelessness. And He chose. And I agree with Lucado when he concludes, the only thing more observed in the stubborn unwillingness of man is to receive Jesus as He has come. Today, the situation is not unlike the day of Emmanuel coming into this world. Another day of business, another day of coming and going, another day of gathering with family and friends, most people unaware, most people not giving concern, totally unaware of the most significant event to happen in their time. Another day of business, coming and going, gathering of family and friends, but God was revealing Himself to us in the person of Jesus, showing His love and compassion for man when He could have just turned away because of man's unwillingness, giving the greatest gift ever given, his very life. I'm encouraged to see that there's been a major shift in direction of man after the Age of Enlightenment brought a focus on science and man's great reason. The age of materialism brought focus on wealth and possession. But I am glad to see that there are many people that are starting to realize there's much more to life than the possessions that they could gain or the experiences that they could have. Man was left in really emptiness, a lack of fulfillment. And Dr. Francis Schaeffer describes how man therefore went through what he defined as an escape from reason. Man no longer believed he could discern all that can be known by human intellect. And today the focus was shifted on man realizing he is a spiritual being. And it is he who really finds himself in purpose and meaning in life if we really want the answer. We must pursue in the spiritual realm if we're going to really understand what life is all about. We define it as perhaps an escape from reason in this age of new spirituality that we find ourselves in. I don't know about you, but doesn't it bother you that there's so much spiritualism that's going on in our world, but very little emphasis on our relationship with Jesus, the Savior? The problem is moving in the wrong direction in the spiritual realm. Everything is being focused in man and man's pursuit to try to find the answers to life. His vocabulary is so different than what it should be. Self-exploration, going within, enlightenment, inner self, higher self, self-realization, mystical experience, altered state, cosmic consciousness, transcendence, non-rationalism, creating our own reality. And as you may have realized from the Star Wars, the Force is being with you. These are the attitudes that people have in regard to thinking they're going to understand something beyond themselves and thinking of perhaps discovering God. The practice, focus on meditation, channeling, astrology, yoga, crystals, mind open to powerful forces and voices of the spirit world all around us, voices of human beings that live several lifetimes in the past, and demons that can be looked upon in as spiritual guides for today. These are things that we ought to be deeply concerned about as being portrayed today as the road into spirituality. Everything centered on each person's individual experience. Truth is based on intuition, and right and wrong determined by our own enlightenment rather than the teachings of Scripture that God has revealed to us. Helen Palmer, a New Age psychic, said, "The task remains yours to evaluate what you receive in terms of your experience, your inner world, and the world at large. You determine what you will experience." They have no God, really. They have no book. They have no absolutes. Everything is relative to each individual and what they pursue and what they think they experience. The greatest wrong, they claim to be the embodiment of deity. That amazes me, that people, in their pursuit to find spirituality, they actually come to that point where they claim to be embodiment of deity. Given such emphasis like Shirley MacLaine, if you've read at all about her, when her emphasis on out of the Lamb, and Carol Christ, "I found God in myself and I love her freely," she said, "and I love her fiercely even." Often people experience and have views and attitudes that contradict so much of what the Scriptures really do teach us. It doesn't matter what every person likes and what every person wants to believe. They are open-minded to everyone and everything, except Jesus being the way to God. And this is where we as Christians need to take our firm stand. This is not the answer to life. Charles Stromer reminds us of the Lewis Carroll story, Through the Looking Glass. Alice finds everything backward in the looking glass house in the countryside. Words and books go the wrong way. Straight paths have sharp corners. They eat very dry cookies to quench thirst, and always walk in the opposite direction to meet someone. And Alice finds this so confusing. But the characters in the looking glass feel their way is normal, proper, and sensible. And that sort of describes what our world is like. They think that they have found answers, but they have not. They go about the wrong way. It is self, not Emmanuel. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 reminds us the principle of inversion. Those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's what Isaiah describes, the characteristic of such people today. Jesus said in his great Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, starting there in verse 22 and going through the next verse, "If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. If your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness?" And the sad thing is that people in darkness really don't understand how they are living such terrible darkness. How do people walk in darkness and think that they are in the light? That's the question that confuses me and many of you, I'm sure. People who are in such darkness, and yet they think they have found the light. If you shut off the light in your bedroom at night, the longer you're in your bedroom, then I suggest to you it appears you get greater light. And the problem, we often distort objects in darkness. And the experience, your children crying in the dark sometimes because they think they saw something in the darkness. New spirituality has such distortion in the midst of their darkness. And we need to understand that. And we need not be drawn into this whole system of darkness that people are following in this present day of ours. Spreading like a blanket across our world, if you really understand it and if you study it. Do you realize in France, for instance, there are more occultists than medical doctors in the country of France? Almost every hotel in Thailand has a psychic, which I experienced as I lived there those 8 years. Psychic everywhere you look. They could not believe the inroads that have been taking place in Canada as we really get into understanding it. Coaches putting crystals under their players' benches in their sports activities. Meditation groups are the in thing in many parts of our country. Women's groups trying to communicate with Greek goddesses of the past as they gather in groups. And Wicca recognizing by the government as an official religion in our country now, have witches participating in chaplaincy activities in our country. Even liberal church groups, 600 women in a denomination I won't describe, sponsoring workshops on goddess worship and earthers religion and on animism to teach people about what life is all about. And we know that that's just not the answer. Tanya Lerman wrote Witches, Magic, and Ordinary Folk. This is what she says. It is not hard for reasonable people to hold unreasonable beliefs. It is comforting and feels a lot like joining a religion, particularly appealing to people deprived of wealth or power. They're drawn into these kinds of systems, and they think that they have found truth. 1 John 3:1 tells us, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God." And that is what we are. The reason that world does not know us is that it did not know Him. And that's what we have to understand, that people in all forms of religious activities often, they do not know anything about Jesus. They do not truly know God. They do not know Emmanuel that we're talking about this morning. The tragedy is the only relationship they rely on is self and what they can achieve within themselves. Reject the true relationship with God that comes only through Jesus Himself. God has always chosen to dwell with His creation. In the Old Testament, it first was the tabernacle, the tent in the wilderness with the it was the Holy of Holies that people could gather in. Then in that beautiful temple in Jerusalem, Herod's temple that was so beautifully built and displayed in Jerusalem. But today, God's temple is in our bodies if we are committed to Him and we truly love Him. He chose to live within us and who will open our hearts and our lives as we accept Him as our Lord. Depicted in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in." Isn't that an incredible thing? That God will actually enter our lives personally if we allow Him to do so. A Christian is someone who has a continual, unbroken, personal, loving relationship with God, of our Heavenly Father, Emmanuel, His Son, Jesus. Not just adherence to certain beliefs and forms. No, it's much more than that. Opening our hearts, the seat of our emotions, affections, and will are given to Him. Vance Havner, some of you know him from years past. Christianity is a life, he suggests. It's not a religion. Established by receiving His great love gift to us, by acknowledging our need of Him, by making a personal faith commitment to live for Him, to live in personal relationship with God. We are immediately brought into the personal living relationship. He is involved in every aspect of our lives if we truly understand true Christianity. When we sleep, He's with us. When we are awake and face a new day, He is with us. He will guide. He will deal with problems and challenges because He's with us. When we struggle with pain and sickness, He is there to be our sufficiency. When we receive emergency telephone calls telling us of tragedy, He is with us. He never leaves us. And when we come to the end of our journey in this life, isn't it wonderful that He is with us as we pass from this life to the next? The true meaning of the Christmas celebration, and this is what I want to emphasize as I close this morning, it is Emmanuel, God with us, not God some far removed place from us, but a personal God who relates with us by His very presence. God taking the initiative to come to us in the person of Jesus, to become one of us, so He could die for us, to provide a way back to a personal, vital relationship with the infinite, eternal God. Now I ask you the question this morning. Is Emmanuel with you this morning? Are you enjoying a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus, Emmanuel? Friends, this is the true meaning of Christmas. The true meaning of Christmas. This is why we celebrate. This is what we celebrate. The fact, Jesus. No wonder we can sing hymns like, O come, Emmanuel. Because we believe in a personal, vital, reasonable relationship with Jesus, who desires to be our Savior, our Lord, our very presence in our lives. Do you know Him? Do you live for Him? Is He an integral part of your life? Or is He just someone you know about, somewhere far removed? I encourage you to see that the true meaning of Christmas is that Jesus came to be with us, Emmanuel, God with us. And this is what we should truly be celebrating. And I know, and I don't want to go into that whole thing about Christmas is celebrated with all the presents and all the toys and all the gifts and all of the meals, and that's part and parcel, but the real focus is to make sure that we understand the personal, vital relationship of the living God who has chosen to be a part of us and live with us, and we with Him, walking with Him, glorifying Him, serving Him. May that be your choice at this Christmas season. Let me pray. Lord, we realize we live in a world that so few really know You personally as Savior and Lord. I thank You that in some parts of the world there's a great move to turn people to You. And people are coming and giving their lives to You and are seeking to live for You, glorifying You, honoring You. How grateful we are for this. And we pray for our own country, Lord. We are very religious, but we are not very spiritual. We have lost sight of what it means to be true Christians, born again by the living Spirit of God. I pray that this Christmas season we would remember it's Emmanuel, God with us, that we are celebrating. So hear this word today, O Lord, and impress upon our hearts this glorious truth, that we would not know you as some God very far withdrawn from us, but a God who's very personable, someone who wants to live within us in the person of the Holy Spirit, and we would know the reality of the living Christ who came at this Christmas season as a babe in the manger, but not to remain there, to ultimately become the Savior of the world, giving his life on that wretched cross in order to provide salvation full and free that we can enjoy because we accept him as our Savior and Lord, and we seek to live with him and serve him and walk with him, obey him, and trust his word. Impress this upon us this morning, O Lord. You know each one of us. I pray that we would be personally related to you in a vital, personal, intimate way because we have received you as our Savior and Lord. This I pray in your precious and wonderful name. Amen.